Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
Last week, 13 of the best roller derby teams from around the globe met in Portland, Oregon for the first World Championships since the pandemic. When they last gathered in 2019, St. Louis's arch-rival All-Stars got fourth place in the tournament, an all-time best for the team. And this year, they went even further. Here's arch-rival skater Kayla Woodward just after arch-rival's win against Denver in the last playoff game, which put arch-rival in the final championship match.
I feel like I got to be hoisted by legends of the League of Arch-Rival Roller Derby to make history today. And I feel so amazing to do it with my 20-plus best friends. So I am over the moon.
Arch-rival ultimately took home silver, placing second in the tournament after a hard-fought battle against long-standing champions, Rose City of Portland.
All right, number two in the world. Arch-rival roller derby, are you ready to get those sweet, sweet medals?
Joining me now to share what that experience was like and the place roller derby has in their lives, we have two arch-rival team members. Stephanie Bondas, a.k.a. Bold Action, welcome.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
And we also have Elena Prince, a.k.a. Lux Furious. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much for having us.
And congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
So how did it feel to be back at the World Championships?
It was exciting and heavy, and there's nothing in derby that replicates the energy of a building that is packed with just the most passionate people. So it was really nice to be back.
Mm-hmm. And it was a return for you as well, Lux Furious?
Yes.
And
yes.
How did it feel for you?
Just like Bolt said, it was mm-hmm. very electrifying. There were so many people there who just came to watch, which was kind of a first for me. So it was exciting to see so many familiar faces and mm-hmm. to feel that much energy.
How many people are we talking about?
Oh, my God.
I would say, like, in the stands for the last game, there was probably 4,000?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
3,000, 4,000?
Okay, that's a lot of electric energy
yes.
in one place. So 2019, you all took fourth. I mean, what do you think made the difference between fourth place and second place this year, Lux?
Well, first, the pandemic. I think that shook a lot of us up in a lot of different ways. And then once the pandemic was over and most of us came back, it was just, we were like, okay, we can do this. Mm-hmm. And it just, we felt that energy from every player. Every player felt like, we can do this.
Mm-hmm. It must have been something that not only your team, but other teams felt like really wanting it. So for that final game to have been so close, what were your thoughts going into that match, Bolt? And then after the bout was over, what were your thoughts and feelings then?
My thought going into that is, we've got this. We are tuned in. We are ready to go. We're ready to fight. We're going to give it everything we possibly can. We're going to leave it all out there. After the game, I felt that we left it all out there. We did everything in our power to
Absolutely.
Win that game. And, you know, the better team came out on top. And they've been number one for five years for
yeah.
a reason, or five cycles for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're a really strong team. And we came the closest
yeah.
that I think anybody has. So, like, I'm really proud of what we were able to do.
And to go up, Lux, against such a big team, it is a top team in the WFTDA. Did it feel like a, you know, a David and Goliath sort of situation?
I would say for me, not so much, because we've played them a few times. And I think that took a lot of the scariness away from him.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, okay, we've done this before. We've come close before. I think this time we can go all the way with this.
Yeah.
So yeah, we had a very strong mindset of like we're the team to beat.
Mm-hmm. So there's that history of the teams, and then there's your personal histories. Lux, how is it that you got into roller derby to begin with?
It was an interesting journey. I am a native New Yorker, and I moved to Georgia with my then husband, who was going to grad school. We lived in a small college town in Athens, Georgia, which was about an hour and a half outside of Atlanta. Wasn't a whole lot to do. Mm-hmm. I had a niece come visit. I took her to a roller rink. I'd skated before, you know, not to this level, mm-hmm. but I saw a flyer at work, and a coworker was part of the local roller derby team in Athens. And I just thought, oh my God, that's cool. Like, I want to see this. And she was like, well, there's a boot camp class tonight if you're interested. And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. But I went and gave it a shot. Wasn't all the way sold with it. I kind of had to step away and come back. But yeah, once I came back, I was all in.
Mm-hmm. What parts of Lux's account, Bolt, do you relate to as far as your entree into roller derby?
I found out through a coworker as well. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Somebody I was working with at the time played roller derby, and a few of us went to go watch her game. And once I saw it, I remember pointing at the track and going, I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be my next thing.
So what was the time that elapsed between your making that decision and participating in your first bout?
So at the time, the team I played for, you had to be 21 to play because we were sponsored by a major beer company.
Mm, okay.
So when I saw that game, I was only 20. So I had to then wait for my first, I had to wait for my 21st birthday and then had to wait for the next new skater intake class. And so from there, I mean, that was in May. So I turned 21 in February. Started in May, and then my first game, I think, was the end of July or early August of that year. So my ramp was pretty quick, and I attribute that to growing up playing hockey. So I knew how to skate, and once I found out about roller derby, in those 3 months that I couldn't play,
yeah.
I was at the roller rink. I read the rule book like multiple times through. I watched footage because I'm like, I'm so ready to go. So yeah. I feel like my on-ramp was a little quicker than maybe others.
Okay. So there was the 2009 film Whip It featuring Elliot Page.
Mm-hmm.
Is roller derby anything like what that film depicts, Lux?
The camaraderie of it all, yes. The actual skating, no, just because they were on a bank track and we play on a flat track.
But
there are some skaters who still skate on a traditional bank track.
Mm-hmm.
That Bolt is one of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I got introduced to flat track. So for me, it differed in that, just in the shapes of the tracks.
Of the tracks.
Yeah.
So to provide listeners with a sort of a mental image to go with what we're talking about, what are the basics of roller derby and how is it played? Bolt, I'll ask you since you are reading up on on what it is even before you started.
Okay, I've said this a lot of times, so mm-hmm. I've tried to hone the explanation because it's very weird and complicated. But roller derby is a full contact sport played on a flat surface and an oval track. There's five people on the track at a time per team. One of the five per team is a point scorer designated with a star on their helmet. Each jam or segment of the game goes in maximum of 2 minute sections.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of like if you think of hockey, there's like a line switch. So ours are maximum of 2 minutes, and then a new line comes out. The point of the game is to have your point scorer or your jammer is what they're called, get past the opposing team's defense, and they do a lap on that oval track. And then every time they do a lap, they get a point for each person that they have lapped.
Mm-hmm.
Do that as much as you can in 2 minutes. So part of your team is trying to stop the other team's point scorer, and then some of you are trying to help your point scorer get past their defensive
mm-hmm.
wall.
Uh-huh.
So it's a lot of offense and defense at the same time, which
right.
makes roller derby really unique. But yeah, if you like full contact sports, you will enjoy this game.
Okay, and you both are
blockers, from what I understand. What is it like to have, you know, your mind on playing both offense and defense all at once, Lux?
I feel like it takes a while. This is, God, I don't even remember what season this is for me, about 10. Mm-hmm. And every year something just clicks just a little bit more. Like, if I watch out for this thing, I can do this thing at the same time. So I feel like playing the game a lot, you kind of pick up those little nuances. But yeah, it's...
Do you have any signature moves, Lux?
I've just been known, my butt just kind of slows people down a lot.
Oh, okay. Blocking out.
Yeah.
And how about for you, Bolt?
Yeah, I don't think it's that odd or signature, but a lot of people tell me that I do this one move continually. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Like, where I kind of hide in front of the other team's defensive wall, and then if mm-hmm. the other team's jammer is getting through, I kind of like swing my body all the mm-hmm. way to the sideline and make a side body catch on their jammer, and I'm able to kind of slow them down and use their own wall, their own teammates against them, so they can't redirect. So just kind of clogging up lanes.
It's a very mm-hmm. hockey move you do.
Yeah.
It's a very hockey move. Well, it makes sense.
Yes, exactly.
And I think from what I understand, Lux, you did not come into this having played...
No, I've played no sports.
So what is it that possessed you to participate in something like this, which is so full contact?
Well, I was at a point, again, living in New York and doing a lot of walking because I've taken the trains, and then moving to Georgia where it's very stationary, I wanted to do something active. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I like to skate and I have a lot of aggression, and this just seems the perfect marriage of the two.
So this full contact element of roller derby, Bolt, what are some of the no-nos when it comes to, you know, how players are handling themselves among others on the track?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's very similar to how any other contact sport operates as far as like safety rules. So you can't hit anybody in the face, in the head at all. You can't use your forearms to gain advantage, and you can't hit anybody directly from behind. So like spine is off limits, mm-hmm. above the shoulders is off limits, and you can't like trip somebody. So
below the knees.
Yeah, so I think it's similar in that way, just like, you know, soccer or hockey mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. Football. Like, you can't just take somebody's head out, but everything else is fair game.
Right. We're talking with Bolt Action and Lux Furious, skaters on St. Louis's roller derby team Arch Rival. The team took home silver at last week's World Championships and set a history-making moment, I guess, for the team. Your names... I've been calling you by your derby names rather than your given names. How did you choose those? Lux, how did you choose your name, and how is it sort of part of the culture of derby?
Well, I knew that it was all about nicknames, and so I just made sure whatever the name was, I'd like the nickname version, because it's Lux Furious, but I knew... everybody would probably call me Lux. And I was like, okay, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. So it was just finding a name where I'm like, I would like my nickname. Because your name warps into something else.
Oh.
You think you wanted this, but it'll warp and turn into something. She's princess to me. I call her princess.
We
have nicknames within our nicknames.
So for you, Stephanie, Bolt Action, where does this come from?
So I am obsessed with lightning, which came from my 14U, or the equivalent in men's hockey would be Pee-wee. So our young team was called the Lightning, and we went all the way to state in Minnesota, which means a lot. And so we were very, very like bonded over that. So that's when we all would like doodle lightning. So I've just been obsessed with lightning since I was like 12, and I needed to have my name related to lightning in some way. I already had a teammate that had Shock in her name, and so I had to kind of go a different route, and somebody just mentioned, like, you could just be Bolt Action.
Oh.
And I was like, all right. And then Bolt just feels right. Yeah.
You just said Minnesota. This is where you grew up?
Yes.
So how long have you been in St. Louis?
I moved to St. Louis in May of 2016 to come to Arch Rival and try out for the team.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So there was purpose in your move.
Yep. This is it.
What is it that you were hearing about the team here that would prompt such a big decision?
Arch Rival was gaining in the rankings. And I, coming from a smaller league, I didn't necessarily want to go into a very top level team. That sounds rude, but I thought it was a community in which that I would be able to fit in and kind of work my way up. Mm-hmm. And so it also has to do with the location and city and knowing people in that town. So, you know, I could have gone anywhere. Could have gone to Portland, but like, what's the fun in that? They're already on top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It felt a lot more exciting to have something to work for and something to grow into.
Be part of something that is developing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lux, you talked about getting into Derby because you moved from bustling New York to very, very small town, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Was there also something that you were searching for insofar as community is concerned? And is that something that you found here sort of in a special way?
Absolutely. My husband, or my now ex-husband, but he got a job in St. Louis. And so kind of like what Bolt said, I was like, oh, this is a team that's kind of on the rise. I was playing with a team in Atlanta at the time, which was a bigger team than the team I started with. And so it was kind of hard to leave them. But then it was like, oh, but I'm going to the team who at the time was moving up to number 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, this is an opportunity, again, to kind of jump on board and get in. And it was just such a good fit from my first day with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I was supposed to be there.
So when you say it was a good fit, is there like a particular moment that you remember from those first meetings with the team?
I remember Vicious Van Gogh seeing her. And, you know, Derby is a small little universe. And you see people and you're like, that face looks familiar. And I remember seeing her. And the first thing she said to me was like, make sure you hide your wallet because, you know, they'd steal in here.
Oh,
and this is our practice space.
In South City.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So some pointers.
And it was just like, wow, okay. And then there was like a cat that everybody was trying to get from up under a car. It was so much going on. It was just like, this is the chaos I need.
Okay.
It's never boring.
Right.
There's
It's never boring.
So, Bolt, the way that this team, it works together. Is there something about roller derby that makes it special for you, even off the track?
Yeah, that's a big question. Because a lot of folks use the saying, roller derby saved my soul. Mm-hmm. And so there is something about this community that is able to empower people, mostly AFAB people, but there is, you know, men's league, but I'm speaking specifically about women's leagues, or WFTA leagues. There is something so empowering about having a space that is, where strong women, queer women, like anybody can come and be themselves and be accepted. We're kind of, most of us consider ourselves a little bit of outcasts, mm-hmm. and we kind of find this chosen family where it's safe to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
A little while ago, somebody asked me, where do you think you'd be if you hadn't joined roller derby? And I said, I would probably be still in Fargo, North Dakota, probably in a marriage that I wasn't happy with and, you know, pretending to be straight. And now I'm here and I'm independent. I'm doing, you know, living my life. I got my own house, have a job. And all of that is facilitated by roller derby because I wouldn't be here, you know, in St. Louis and not have this friend group and have the strength and independence to do this. I know that sounds so off base, but like, roller derby as a sport is that inspiration and like support for a lot of people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And Lux, you're agreeing. Tell me how it's affected your
roller
life.
Derby got me through my divorce. Like if it wasn't for those group of weirdos to just, you know, lend me money or offer a place to sleep or just advice or just a shoulder to cry on, like, yes, the community is, it's everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So people who are curious about roller derby and hearing not only what happens on the track, but off it, what is your first word of advice as to like getting involved in it? Lux?
Get a pair of skates. Start with a pair of skates.
And what kind of skates? We're talking quads, right?
Quad, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Get a pair of quad skates. I feel like we're easy to find. There's always, you know, we're on social media. We have classes coming up. So if you are really interested in getting involved, there are even, not even derby, just skating. I feel like the skating community as a whole, whether it's jam skating or park skating or roller derby, it's such a huge community, and there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
I just say start with a pair of skates.
Okay. I agree. Yeah. So even if you aren't interested in roller derby, there's clubs like Skate Culture in St. Louis that are just focused on getting people out and rolling. And, you know, they have meetups and everything. But I would also add to that, even if you don't want to be a skater, there's still a place for you within roller derby.
Yeah,
and the community.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so obviously there's a need for any sport needs refs. So there's a need for people that can either be on skates or off skates officials and volunteer in that capacity. Or some people, they don't necessarily want to, you know, skate or even be part of the games. They just want to be part of the organization. You can come and just volunteer, or just like come to practice and maybe blow a whistle or help with setup or help haul merch. But like there is a place for anybody to fit in, and it's not just about the skaters. Sorry to digress, but a lot
absolutely.
Of teams getting away from being a gendered league, a lot of teams switched from like roller girls or roller dames or whatever to just roller derby. And part of that is that the sport itself is not just about the people on wheels, it's about the whole community. So like anybody that's involved in our community is part of our tribal, not just those of us that are, you know, wearing this jersey.
Right. So where and when can people attend a roller derby bout and maybe get bitten by the same bug that you've been bitten by, Lux?
Our season starts February?
Yeah, usually in the spring we start having games in St. Louis. And then our competitive season, which will probably focus, will feature some games in St. Louis as well as travel, usually starts in like May-ish, late April, early May. But if people are interested, I would definitely say to follow us on social media, Instagram, our Travel Roller Derby, or check our website. And if you want to skate, we have a new skater class. So we don't just throw you out there and get hit, right? We teach you how to skate. We teach you how to fall safely so nobody's getting hurt. Build up those balance muscles and everything. But we have a class starting in early January.
And just to note here, it's not just the Arch, the All-Stars. The Arch Rival teams also include Arch Rival Nemesis and the Fleur Delinquents well as a junior team. So, as we close here, what is the one word that you would assign to your experience of being in roller derby, Lux?
Community. Community. I think especially after this past week, our champs weekend, which seems like it was just a couple of days ago. But yeah, just community.
Same for you, Bolt.
Yeah, camaraderie is the term I usually use when I say when people ask why we are addicted to it. It's the camaraderie.
Stephanie Bondis, a.k.a. Bolt Action, and Elena Prince, a.k.a. Lux Furious, are two members of the St. Louis world-ranked Arch Rival roller derby team. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.